Welcome back in everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be joined once again by the general director and artistic director of Teatro Grattacielo, Stefanos Kourinos. He's here to talk to us about Teatro Grattacielo's 30th anniversary season, which is featuring two great shows, Flageo's Beyond the Horizon, which is happening September 15th at La Mama Shares, and G. Donizetti's L'Ezzo d'Amore, which is happening June 1st and the 2nd at the Flea Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting grattacielo.org. We are so excited once again to have Stefanos joining us and talking about all these great things. So let us welcome back our guest, Stefanos. So glad to have you back on Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much. Glad to be back again. Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this 30th anniversary season you've got going on. Two fabulous shows. Why don't we start by having you tell us a bit about this season?
Okay. So obviously the main dish of this season is the fact that we have been around for 30 years. The company has been around for 30 years. The company was not founded by me. It was founded by an incredible human being. Her name is Duane Prince. I'm the second director of this company since 2020. And I thought, what a great opportunity for us to actually not only focus on what we have focused so far, which is Italian opera, especially Italian rare opera, rare titles that they're not being heard that often in New York, but also to start presenting American classics. And I was presented with this opportunity to have the world premiere of Beyond the Horizon, which is based on Eugene O'Neill's first Pulitzer Prize winning play by the same title. Eugene O'Neill, great American playwright. He won 3 Pulitzer Prizes in his life. The first one was with Beyond the Horizon, which is a story about farmers in Boston, in Massachusetts. It's a great, 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 great play that has not been seen in New York for over 30 years. We are not doing the play. We're doing the operatic version that is based on the play. And actually, the librettist, Walter Simmons, and the composer kept very big parts of the play intact so that this opera is not an opera like Aida or any other older style operas, but is based on language and on true acting. It's practically a theatrical piece put in music. In the meantime, we have been working with La Mama, which is one of my favorite space ever in New York City, experimental theater. And we decided that that was the best place to do it. I have invited a young director. His name is Ian Silverman, who is going to be directing Beyond the Horizon. And this is going to be our main show. The opera was written 40 years ago, but never performed, 30 years ago, but never performed. And it's written in a what we call in the operatic world, neo-romantic style, is very melodic. And then we have our young series opera program, which is The Elixir of Love. It's a comedy, it's a very light comedy, full of bigger than life personalities, which is kind of my specialty. And so I'm directing this show because I thought it was a great opportunity to put to service my knowledge of color blocking extravagant, flamboyant, personalities that mix up with whatever happens on stage. And this is kind of our main season, together with some concerts and other activities, educational activities that we have within the city.
It's fantastic. What a great season that you have in store for audiences. Now, I'm curious to know, how did you select the productions you've chosen for this season?
Okay. Yes, that's a very good question. Our mission is based on presenting always very rare pieces that they're not be done in New York City by the Met or by other companies. By rarity, rarities also include, world premieres, pieces that have never been done before. And this Beyond the Horizon fits exactly our mission, except for first time we're presenting something in English. The opera stylistically fits very well whatever we have been doing in the past, except whatever we have been doing in the past has always been in Italian. But guess what? We are in a new century. Not now, we have been in a new century since 24 years, but we are all of us in the American opera companies. We have been trying to find ways to make opera more relatable to people who don't really think opera is for them. And what a great opportunity the language presents to connect people better to the opera. What do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes it's easier for, especially for younger audiences, to go and follow or to experience an opera that is written in their own mother language than another language that they have to constantly follow the super titles to get what ha it happens. So that was a kind of the discussion last year. How do we keep true to what we do, but also try to find new people who want to maybe follow us, but they feel like opera is for the Italians, or it's elitist, or it's just for a few people who, have a lot of money and they have the opportunity to go places. And I don't know, from my experience, because I grew up in Greece, and in Greece we have the culture of learning a lot of languages. So when we get out of Greece, people can understand us. I thought that one of the conduits, one of the ways to get people to come to the opera was to use the English language. That's a very big point for me. And the second production that I it's an Italian masterpiece. It's an opera that everybody knows, but also it's an opera that has special interest for young artists. We have a very florid young artist program where we practically promote and present the future opera stars. We give them a real opportunity in New York, and again, but it needs to be done in a way that doesn't that represents them at the best in an opera that is standard repertoire, so they have something to build on their resume and some reference with other singers.
That is all fantastic, incredible. So with the 30th anniversary season, is there anything else audiences can expect from it? Anything special in regards to the 30th anniversary?
Yes, the special number one is obviously Beyond the Horizon, which is a world premiere, and especially if, who is a passionate about Eugene O'Neill, I think they should be very interested in that production. But also who loves American theater and American masterpieces. Then we are preparing at the General Consulate of Greece in New York City a very special 30th anniversary concert on June 11th with very, very, very rare operatic pieces from various operas that I'm curating right now, with a very diverse casting, which is kind of what we have always done. So we put together a lot of artists from all over the world. This also, the tricky part there is that the Greek consulate can seat only 40 people. So it might sound a little bit super exclusive, but we will have a worldwide live stream for everybody else who wants to experience operas and arias from operas, I should say, that they have never heard before. Together with that, there's something that actually today we just did. We have a very interesting educational program that is called Creative Tableau. In this Creative Tableau, practically, we introduce students, high school students mostly, to the creative process of creating an opera. How do you start from an idea? How do you start from a color, from a design, and you get all the way to something that is a whole production, especially when it comes to colors, to lighting, to design. Today we had a presentation just like this, and then we offer to those students working-based learning internships. In other words, I don't know, for example, right now I'm working with 20, well, with 12 girls actually from High School for Fashion Industries who are my interns as to the costume designer. So they're interning and they're learning the craft from a real costume designer in the theater.
That's so wonderful. I love that you all are reaching out to the younger generation to keep it going in a way, you know? So that's fantastic. And a good lead into my next question, which is, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences take away from these two shows as well as these other performances celebrating the 30th anniversary?
I hope they get out a newfound or a continued love for an art or an art form that is multidisciplinary. And when I say multidisciplinary, I mean that the opera singers, just like opera creators, are people who have to combine a lot of arts all together. For example, an opera singer is not only a singer, but also an actor and a musician, because he has to deal with an orchestra, with a conductor who is conducting. The same goes for every person who creates behind the scenes, because unlike other art forms like, I don't know, theater, straight theater, etc., opera directors, just like myself, or opera designers have to be able to read music. So we are not only creators, but we are also musicians who create. And I think this is something amazing. And I hope people get to know how much work it takes to do all of this, and hopefully to appreciate more this art form.
Yes, amen. Say that again for the people in the back. That is fantastic. And that leads to my final question for this first part of the interview, which is, who are you hoping has access to this wonderful season?
Well, I hope that everybody has access. We are opening our last dress rehearsal of Beyond the Horizon to communities and to schools. By communities, I mean we have a special relationship with the LGBTQ Center of New York, with several schools that we invite students to come to see the performances for free. And we're going to do exactly the same for Elisita More. So we practically, whoever is young, or whoever gives so much to New York City, we are making sure that we, in our little contribution, we give something back. And then the two other performances, one of Beyond and one of Elixir of Love, they will be open to everybody to a very reasonable price, so that hopefully the ticket price will not become a barrier of going to the theater.
On the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests. And of course, we've had you here before. So this is exciting to get to pick your brain a little bit more. And I want to start by asking you, how is it that you came into the performing arts?
Yeah, I moved from Greece to Italy when I was 19 years old, with in mind that I wanted to become a designer. That was my first love. That was my first passion. Except, I was a broke student, and I was living in an apartment with a bunch of other students from all over the world. And a couple of these students were American opera singers. They were in Italy to study to become opera singers. And I remember one of them, her name, she was a soprano, her name was Elaine Orsillo. I just still remember her. And I was just curious about her exercises, her voice. It was so beautiful, so big, so full. So I went and I asked her for a couple of voice lessons, just like this. I never thought in my life, ever, that I would become an opera singer. And all of a sudden, here I am singing and getting lessons. And after a couple of years auditioning and getting my first jobs. And I have never finished design school because everything happened a little bit too fast in my career. I was on a professional opera singing for 25 years. I found myself after my second audition, professional audition, on a plane and off to my first gig out of Milan, and never stopped. So I never finished my studies in design, and I went back once I stopped singing a few years ago. And then it has been a roller coaster of, you know, of good years as a professional singer where I was working a lot, and years at them, there was not too much going on. But I am very thankful for everything that I have experienced in my life that I think prepared me for what I do right now. Especially thankful because for many years I worked under Franco Zeffirelli, who I was a character baritone. I never sang leading roles. I always sang the character roles. And Franco Zeffirelli, I guess he liked me. He met me in Moscow in a production. So I think I learned a lot about the craft from him and from some other people. But right now, once I stopped singing, when I became the artistic director of this company, I decided I wanted to stop singing because I couldn't just concentrate and do everything right. I had to be a singer. I know you know that. It gets a lot of, requires a lot of dedication and training. I don't miss it at all. I love my new life. I feel like I have given enough of that kind of voice to the industry. And now I enjoy empowering and promoting other young performers within the industry. Performers and creators.
That is so lovely. I love that journey right there. That is fabulous.
Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned, we have had you on our show before, and I just want to ask our favorite question once again to you, which is, you know, what is your favorite theater memory? Or since you've been here, what's another of your favorite theater or performing arts memories?
I have a lot of them. Right now, out of the top of my head, I remember the first time that I met Franco Zeffirelli. And for who doesn't know who Franco is, Franco was a very famous film director who has created masterpieces like Romeo and Juliet a few years ago and many other films. But he was also very, very passionate about opera. And I met him in Moscow, the Bolshoi Theater. And I was very young. And I guess that day I was also very bored because I was leaning on a column on his set. Zeffirelli was very famous for having this super elaborate, ornate sets that were fantastic. And I guess he didn't like it that young kid who didn't know who he was leaning bored out of his mind on the stage waiting for somebody to tell him what to do. That was me. So he calls one of his assistants and he says, who is this person on the stage there? And I guess the assistant said, well, you know, his name is Stefanos Kouronaios. He's the guy who is singing the Baron in Traviata. It was a production of La Traviata. And he screams out of his lungs, well, somebody get a broom, stick it out to his butt so he can stay straight and he can pretend to be the Baron. I was like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. This guy already hates me. So I worked my for the next days. I was like, ready for everything all the time. Was the first time in rehearsal, I broke the ice with him. And then all of a sudden, one day he comes to my bed, to my dressing room, and he was very close friends with Maria Callas, the famous Greek soprano. And I guess he had learned from her a couple of words. So he enters my dressing room and he starts telling me the few, three, four words that he knew in Greek. And then I knew that we have become friends. And we continued working for a very long time together.
That is a fantastic, fantastic memory. Oh my gosh, I love that. That takes me back to my younger days. You know, who's that guy leaning there? Oh
Yeah.
no, I'm working. I'm working. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you for allowing me.
Do you or your company have any other productions or projects coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Yes, I actually have already. I have signed a contract for 2025 season of a world premiere of our very first jazz opera. The opera is called The Teen Angel, and it's about written by Daniel Azia, who is a fantastic American composer, and it's about a very famous jazz club on the East Side that used to be called the Teen Palace. The Teen Palace was very big in the 70s and 80s. It was on East 4th Street, very close to La Mama. And it was a place that practically every jazz legend has passed through. But it was also a very welcoming place for any kind of community in New York City. So this opera was written a few years ago. It has a huge cast, a very diverse cast. And right now, I'm in the first steps of securing, the venue for the place, casting, putting together the creative team, etc.
Sounds incredibly exciting. I can't wait for the next season now. I mean, we have to get through the 30th, but you know, it sounded incredible. So with that, if our listeners do want more information about Teatro Grandicello's 30th anniversary season or any of the productions, or even you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
They can go to our website, grattacielo.org, with double T, G-R-A, double T-I-E-L-O dot org, which is our website. And there we have several ways they can sign up for our newsletter, or they can find an email where practically it's my email, and they can email me and I can guide them to anything they wish to know. We are very responsive, so everything we make sure, me and my team, that every request that we have gets an answer. We might not answer in the next 5 minutes when we get it, but we answer always.
Wonderful. Well, Stefanos, it is always lovely to talk to you. And I thank you so much for stopping by and sharing this incredible information about the 30th anniversary. I'm really excited about it. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
My guest today has been the general director and artistic director of the Teatro Grandicello, Stefanos Corineos. He stopped by to talk about the 30th anniversary season at this place, featuring Flageo's Beyond the Horizon, which is happening September 15th at La Mama Shares, and G. Donizetti's Lézard d'Amour, which is on June 1st and 2nd at the Flea Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting grattacielo.org. We'll have all of this information posted on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out and support this incredible company doing very, very wonderful works, works that are not done at any other company here in New York. So these are some great, great opportunities to see wonderful operas being done by the young and the older,
Yes.
which is great shows. So celebrate Teatro Grandicello's 30th anniversary season this September and June. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you. Broadway, Carol Square, I don't care.